today's message, hectic holidays and the joy of the Lord. We all understand that during the holidays, you know, Christmas in particular, especially, we sometimes, you know, get caught up in all of the hustle and the bustle and all the things that are going on. And sometimes it can be very stressful. But how many of you know that there is joy in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. And so I just want to minister to you along this line. I'd like you to open your Bibles or look at your app, if you will, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Now, for those that may not have a Bible, I do have this scripture. I'll be bringing it up for you. But again, as I always say, I encourage you to bring a Bible. Bring a Bible app if you prefer. You know, if you want to use a Bible app, my wife uses an app. I use a real Bible, one that looks like one and acts like one and reads like one. But she uses her phone. But, you know, some of you, you know, I hope if you're using your Bible, I hope you're really using it, because I'm going to have the ushers start looking around, making sure you're not looking at Facebook instead of your Bible app here, all right? You're laughing. You know why you're laughing? Because you know that probably happens a little bit. Amen. I hope a little bit, just a little bit. I hope none, but anyway, Luke chapter 2, are you there? All right, it's up on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. Notice what it reads. Beginning with verse 8, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you what? I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" I don't know if you know what a manger is. A manger is a feeding trough for animals, you understand. And so they placed him in the feeding trough that is normally used for the animals. And so they laid him in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You'll notice up on the screen, if you will, I highlighted a certain part of this that says, "Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." How many of you know the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not for just a select few, but he came for the whole world. Isn't that right? Of course, every individual has to exercise their free will and decide whether or not they're going to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but he died for all of humanity, and all that will receive him can be saved, amen, if they'll receive him as their Lord and their Savior. But notice it's good tidings or good news of great joy. And you know, once we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, I think we ought to just continue with some great joy in our lives. And I know that there's a lot of troubling things happening in this world, a lot of troubling things that are happening perhaps in your life, a lot of stress and a lot of things, trials, etc., people being sick in body. I mean, we believe in divine healing, but we also know that people get attacked in sickness. Isn't that right? And so they get attacked financially or whatever the case may be. And many times they get down and out and discouraged and depressed and all of that kind of thing. But I want you to know there is a joy that is supernatural, a joy that is beyond the human ability to perceive it or the human ability to experience it. There is a joy that is given by Jesus Christ to all those that believe on him that cannot be had by people that don't have him. And our responsibility, or really our privilege, our honor, is that we can tap in to this supernatural joy. Say supernatural joy, would you? All right, why do I have you say it? Well, it's healthy for you to say it, but also this way I know you're listening. Praise God. All right. And so, again, I want to talk to you about this idea of, you know, hectic holidays and yet the joy of the Lord in the midst of all of that. Jesus came to bring us joy. And again, joy is different than happiness. Happiness is something based on experience, based on whether things are going well and all that kind of thing. But joy, this supernatural kind of joy, is beyond that, where it doesn't depend upon circumstances. It doesn't depend upon what's going on in your life. There's a joy on the inside that just resonates in your life. And we're going to give you a bunch of scripture. And I encourage you, if you can, take notes or take a picture of the screen or whatever the case is, to get this down on the inside of you, all right? Now, notice now, John chapter 17 and verse 13. This is Jesus now praying. You know, some people call John chapter 17 the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus praying just a little while before he went to the cross. He's praying to the Father. And notice what he says. This is a part of the prayer. I remember a few years ago, I did a series based on John 17. We went through John 17, chapter by chapter. It's all one chapter. Verse by verse, we went through John chapter 17. I called it the prayer of all prayers or something like that. And there are so many truths within John chapter 17. But notice verse 13 from the Amplified Bible. It says, "And now I'm coming to you." That's Jesus speaking to the Father. "I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that my joy may be made full and complete and perfect in them." Who's them? Well, them is those disciples then at that particular time, but it's also disciples throughout the ages, followers of Jesus Christ. That his desire was that his joy may be made full and complete and perfect in each and every one of us, as it reads on, that they may experience my delight fulfilled in them, that my enjoyment may be perfected in their own souls, that they may have my gladness within them, filling their hearts. Isn't that powerful? I think that's powerful. And when you think about it, Jesus had then, therefore, he experienced enjoyment. He experienced joy while he walked on this earth. Would you agree with that? How many of you are awake this morning? All right. If you just fake it if you have to fake being enthusiastic, all right? It'll help me, all right. Anyway, the idea is if Jesus said to the Father that I want them to have my joy, my enjoyment, that tells us that he was a joyous person, wasn't he? Sometimes we don't think of Jesus as joyous. We don't think of him as laughing or maybe even playing with children or anything like that, but he enjoyed life. And he still said in this prayer that he had joy and enjoyment, even though he knew he was going to go to the cross, didn't he? Now, hold your place where you are because I don't have this up on the screen. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but that's all right. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. But look over. You don't have to hold your place and look. Just go over to Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews chapter 12. That's more toward the back of your Bible. And so Hebrews chapter 12, if you're there, say yes. Notice what it said, beginning with verse 1. Are you there? You are. Notice verse 1. "Therefore we also," this is the apostle, I think it was probably Paul. Nobody knows for sure, but it doesn't matter. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," those cloud of witnesses referring to the people he mentions in chapter 11, saints of the past, saints of old. "We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." How many of you know we're all in a race, a spiritual race, right? That has this idea that there's a plan that God has for each and every one of us that we're to fulfill, that we're running a race to finish the race that God has for each one of us as individuals. And then going on with this, notice verse 2. "In that race, looking unto Jesus." Keep your eyes on him in your life. Keep your eyes on him in that race and fulfilling the plan of God for your life. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Notice, "who for the joy," everybody say joy, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so what does that tell us? That tells us that Jesus, even though he knew he was going to go to the cross, and even it infers that he's on the cross and still experiencing joy because he saw the end result. He saw what was coming. He saw salvation for humanity. He saw deliverance. He saw what he was doing was going to set people free, right? And so for the joy that was set before him, it strengthened him to endure the cross and despise the shame. Are you following me here today? And see, the same thing holds true for you and me, that no matter what trial, no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation we're facing in life, if we will allow the joy of the Lord to be in front of our eyes, keep our eyes on Christ, keep our eyes on his word, his promises, and realize that that joy is on the inside of us. It'll help us endure. It'll strengthen us. As it says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Sometimes people think, well, how can I be joyous when I'm going through what I'm going through? That's the point we're trying to emphasize here. It's not about circumstances, amen? It's not about the circumstances, because this is a supernatural joy. Let's go on up on the screen. Notice some of these things. John 15:11. We're not going to turn to all these scriptures. You might want to write them down. It says, and this goes along with what we just read in John 17, but John 15:11 tells us that Jesus has provided us with his joy. He wants our joy to be full, complete, perfected. Another scripture to back this up is in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have joy. And let me just say what that says. In Romans 14, 17, it says, and that's written by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, it says that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in what? In righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so it's telling us that when you have the Holy Spirit, you've got the joy on the inside of you. Now, that doesn't mean it's always coming out of you. It doesn't mean that it's always expressed in you. But it tells us that the joy of the Lord is one of the attributes of God himself that has been imparted to you the moment you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Is everybody with me here today? Now, the second part that's said in this is God is joyful. I've already tried to show you that with Jesus, but notice what Zephaniah 3:17 says. And again, remember, God doesn't change, even though that's Old Testament. The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Can you imagine God singing, God rejoicing over his people? And so again, you know, God is well aware of everything that's going on in this world, and God hates sin, he hates atrocities, he hates all the things, terrorism, all that kind of thing, but yet God still has this joy because it's part of who he is. You understand? All right, this is a better message than your amens, but that's all right. Hallelujah. Let's go on with this. I want to build this into you. Galatians 5. 22 and 23, that which originates and comes from the Spirit is joy. Most of you probably know Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. After delineating some of the works of the flesh, then he mentions the fruit of the Spirit, and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the second one? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, etc. Against such there is no law. And so the second thing mentioned there in terms of the fruit of the Spirit is joy, this joy of the Lord. It's the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it's that which comes from, that which originates from, that which is part of the fruit, or that which is produced by the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you as a believer, is the joy of the Lord. Again, it's a supernatural joy. It's a supernatural joy. And if you were standing here looking out at you, you would realize how much your face does not look like you're full of joy right now. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Now, number four, notice now, the church in the book of Acts was a joyful church, and they brought joy to others. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't have trials. If you read Acts, you know they had lots of trials, didn't they? But yet there was a joyous time. There was joyful things. Notice, I give one passage up here on the screen, Acts chapter 13, 48 through 52. It reads this way. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, that's the gospel, the non-Jews heard the gospel, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now, were they filled with joy and the Holy Spirit because they had no pressure, because they had no persecution, because they had nothing coming against them? The answer to that is no. It spells out very specifically they're having persecution, they're having trials, they're having people trying to kill them and all that, but yet they were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Of course, again, we already saw from Romans chapter 15 and verse 17 that joy and the Holy Spirit go together, don't they? 14 verse 17 of Romans. Amen. Amen. Say, I've got the joy of the Lord. Now, you may not feel joyous, and I can testify you don't necessarily look joyous. But the Bible says you've got the joy of the Lord today. And so you got to stir it up, don't you? You got to stir it up. Now, the next thing here, this is number five. The Apostle Paul found great joy in doing the will of God. In Acts 20, 22 through 24, it says, and see now, this is Paul, See, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except this is what's going to happen to him there. The Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me. None of these things move me. These chains, these tribulations, Paul says, none of these things are going to move me. We need to become more and more immovable in our faith. Amen? Unshakable in our faith. He says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may notice, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. For all Paul knew, he was going to Jerusalem and he was going to be killed. Chains and tribulations awaited him. And yet he said, it doesn't matter. I'm not moved by it. I'm going because I believe the Spirit of God wants me to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to preach the gospel as much as I can. And I'm going to finish my race with joy. Finish my race with joy. That's different than finishing your race with depression or finishing your race with sadness or finishing your race with anxiety or any of those things. It's finishing your race with joy. You see, fulfilling the will of God for our lives is one of the greatest ways to experience the joy of the Lord in our life. Amen? In fact, I would propose to you this, that sometimes people that are believers, they don't experience the joy of the Lord in their life. Now, they have it in them. We've established that. But they don't experience the joy of the Lord in their life because they're out of the will of God. Is everybody with me? And so maybe some adjustments have to be made because they are out of the will of God. Now, if you're concerned whether you are or not, and you're confused over that or whatever, you know, chances are that unless you've been struggling and know that you're out of the will of God, then don't be concerned about that. Don't try to conjure that up and think, well, I must be out of the will of God. No, I think most people that are true believers in Christ, if they're out of the will of God, they know it. They know it down deep on the inside sometimes, but they know it. Notice what this particular author said from his website, and I liked it, so I put it down. That doesn't mean, now, whenever I quote anybody, doesn't matter who it is, I'm not putting my stamp of approval on everything that they teach. How come? Because I don't know everything that they teach. How could I possibly know everything anybody teaches, right? And so Lord knows I'm always right. I'm just joking now, just joking, all right? How many of you know we're all a work in progress, all growing, amen? But this guy's got some good things many times. Notice what he said about joy. Joy, then, is the deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows all is well between himself and the Lord. It is not an experience that comes from favorable circumstances, but even occurs when those circumstances are the most painful and severe. I like the first part of this definition where he says that it's a deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows all is well between himself and his Lord. Amen? There's a great joy experienced with all of that. Amen? All right, so what is the Jesus kind of joy? Let's just look at a few things. Are you getting anything out of this today? I pray that you are. It helped me. It helped me to go through this, to look at these scriptures again. I pray that it helps you as well. First of all, what is this joy? In definition, it means to be cheerful or to be delighted. And of course, as we've seen, despite of circumstances. Secondly, another definition is the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition of expectation of good. That excitement of pleasurable feelings, which is caused by success, as in living according to God's divine principles. True joy comes by serving the only true God. Amen? That's a great definition. It comes by serving the only true God. And it starts off by saying it's a passion or emotion excited by the acquisition of expectation of good. Sometimes Christians, you know, they think, well, we're not supposed to have any kind of emotion. You know, we're our flavor of Christianity is Pentecostal, charismatic. And so sometimes we get accused of being, too emotional or whatever. But, you know, think about that for a moment. You know, emotions out of control certainly are a problem. But emotions that are directed in the right direction, directed toward our love for God, our excitement about the things of God, why is it okay for somebody to get excited about a football game but not excited about God? Are you following me here today, right? Amen. And I almost said, why is it okay to be excited about the Buffalo Bills, but I knew nobody gets excited about them, and so I didn't bring them up. Oh. Oh. It's amazing what the Spirit of God might say. Amen. I'm just kidding. Just joking. All right. So thirdly, another definition. Joy is an attribute of God himself. With it comes pleasure, gladness, and delight. Joy is merriment and hilarity. And again, we understand this is supernatural joy we're talking about. This is the joy that God imparts into us when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Remember, he said, my joy I give to you. My pleasure, my delight, etc. I give to you my joy. That's his joy, which is supernatural. This is from an unknown source, but it reads this way. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. All of us would probably agree to that. But I have discovered in the midst of it, a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go on with this. This kind of joy is inexpressible. Many times we can't explain it. We can't express it sufficiently at all. And the Scripture even tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Again, this is the Amplified Bible. Reads this way. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him and exult and thrill with inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. Peter speaking by inspiration of the Spirit of God. There's an expression, or there's a characterization of this kind of joy. It's inexpressible, it's glorious, it's triumphant, and it's heavenly, which is another way of saying, in a sense, of supernatural. So we come to this point. And I pray that you're getting something out of this. Because, you know, in our world, you know, and during this season, you know, some people really struggle. You know, maybe you lost a loved one recently. And these holidays can be especially difficult because you lost a loved one that you've been with during these Christmas times and what have you. And so it becomes very difficult for you at times. But I want you to know that in spite of that, God is still the one who heals the brokenhearted. Jesus said in Luke 4, it's recorded, and I think verse 18, it says that one reason he came was to heal the brokenhearted, to set it free, set at liberty them that are bruised, amen? And so he's still the same as he always was. And even though in these holidays, you know, you can be missing and hurting and all of that because perhaps a loved one or something else has happened during this time, I want you to know that God still has given you joy, this joy of the Lord, and that can help you overcome the brokenness. That can help you overcome the discouragement or whatever because your joy is not found in another human being. Your joy is not found in your job or anything else or your children, grandchildren. Your joy is found in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Is everybody with me here today? Amen? And so how do we stir it up? Let's stir up the joy of the Lord today. Notice, remember, this is one way. Number one, remember the fact that our names are written in heaven. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, I quoted it a couple of weeks ago, and it's about the 70 disciples that returned after Jesus had commissioned them and sent them out. They came back, and they said, they were rejoicing and said, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through your name. And what did Jesus say? He said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. Amen? I mean, if you can't find anything else to rejoice about, and rejoice is a form of joy, if you can't find anything else to rejoice about, rejoice that he's got your name written up there and that you have a reservation for heaven. And eternity is a lot longer than this short time that we're going to pass on this earth. Isn't that right? I mean, this is just a sampling. This is just a blip on the radar of our entire eternal life. Amen. Amen. So let's keep this in mind. And in Revelation 21:27, it talks about the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. We're in that book. You're in that book if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So remember that. That's part of stirring up that joy of the Lord. Secondly, remember unconfessed sin will rob you of the fullness of joy. And so if you have sin in your life and you know it, confess that sin. 1 John 1:9 says if we confess our sin, and it's written to believers, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I gave the reference of Psalm 51 and verse 12, but the whole psalm is a psalm of David. And this is David lamenting over him committing adultery with Bathsheba. Maybe you know the story, and having her husband killed, Uriah killed, and all of that kind of thing. He's lamenting. And one of the things he says in his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51 is, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And so he needed to confess that sin. And even though that joy is still in you, if you're still born again and you are, you fail, you don't confess your sin, you're still kind of dabbling maybe, you confess that sin, forsake that sin, repent of that sin, and that joy of the Lord will just bubble up from within again. Amen? When you're out of fellowship, I'm not talking about out of relationship, but when you're out of fellowship with God due to sin, that joy is going to be down suppressed, isn't that right? It's like somebody said, I heard him say it years ago, you know, you can sin as a Christian if you want to, but you're going to be miserable if you do. Isn't that right? You're going to be miserable. Why? Because you're a new creation now. You're a new man. You're a new woman now. And so you can sin, and we know the Bible says if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. That's in 1 John 1 as well. But then he says, confess it. Amen? And so people, some of the most miserable people on the face of the earth are backslidden Christians. That went over terribly. But anyway, number three. Again, we're talking about stirring up the joy of the Lord. Knowing God loves us and loving others is a key to walking in His joy and having our joy full. We won't go to John 15 right now. You can write it down, look it up yourself, 9 through 13. The whole chapter is good. He starts off with saying, that He is the vine, you are the branches, and the Father is the husbandman and all that kind of thing. A lot of great things in John chapter 15, and talks about Jesus laid down His life for His friends. That's you and me, etc. And so again, loving, knowing and remembering that God loves you and loving other people is part of the key to walking in the joy of the Lord. Then going on with this, remember we're talking about stirring up this joy because it's in you. Say, it's in me. Remember, joy gives you strength to get through every trial. And we read already Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, where it talks about Jesus as our example. It says again, as we run our race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, or the right hand of the throne of God. Amen? And so that joy gives us enduring power. It gives us endurance, gives us the ability to keep on keeping on. When our flesh wants to quit, the joy of God stirred up will keep things going. Then number five, remember, joy is a weapon to help you overcome in the midst of trials and temptations. That's one of the things we see from James 1, 1 through 3. It talks about the idea that it says, count it all joy when you fall into temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works endurance. Count it all joy. In other words, rejoice when you're in trouble. Rejoice when you're going through trials. Don't rejoice because of the trial, or don't thank God for the trial, but in the midst of the trial, give Him thanks for that which He has done. Amen? And receive the deliverance and the freedom from whatever trial you might be going through. I've heard of people that received healing in their bodies as they just began to worship God and rejoice in Him. Then the healing power of God hit their body and they were set free. I've heard of people getting set free from other things just by praising and counting it all joy, like James 1 says, and they broke through. And then sometimes, and James 1 continues on saying, if you need wisdom, ask God for that wisdom who gives to all men liberally and upbraids them not. And so in the midst of expressing joy to God in the midst of trials, He'll give you wisdom as to what you can do in order to overcome that trial as well. Amen? Are you getting anything out of this today? And then number six, joy will help bring healing to your body, as I already mentioned. But this scripture, Proverbs 17:22, it talks about a merry heart or a joyful heart does good like a medicine. Does good like a medicine. And you know, even scientists and medical professionals have recorded this, that people that are just expressing more joy or happiness or whatever, people that are more optimistic in life are just naturally more healthy anyway. And you and I have an advantage over a worldly, ungodly, unsaved person. If they have a, if they're happy and express happiness and all that kind of thing, and they're healthy, that's one thing. But you and I have an advantage because we don't have just natural happiness. We've got supernatural joy. How much more healthy should we experience in Jesus' name? Amen? Amen. And then going on with this, I pray you're getting something. Number seven, we're talking about stirring up the joy that's already in you. Encourage yourself by reminding yourself of the goodness and promises of God. That's what David did in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. And then going on, number eight, begin to sing and praise the Lord. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. He inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22 and verse 3. And in his presence is fullness of joy in Psalm 16 and verse 11. And so you begin to praise him, you begin to worship him, even when you don't feel like it. Maybe especially when you don't feel like it. You begin to praise him, you begin to worship him, you begin to voice your love to God. That's going to help you break through that trial. That's going to help you get wisdom from above. It's going to minister to you in ways you know not of. You know, many times God's ways are totally contrary to conventional wisdom. You understand, right? I mean, the world's wisdom will say, what do you mean praise God when you're going through difficulties? But God says in the midst of trials, count it all joy, rejoice in him. God knows what he's talking about, doesn't he? He knows what he's talking about. And so you rejoice in him. And one thing that does it, gets your mind off the problem, gets your mind on him who has the answer. He has the answer. And then finally, pray in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Jude 20 and 21, there's something about that, praying in the Spirit. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, as I said, we tend to be Pentecostal charismatic. We believe in a Pentecostal experience subsequent to salvation, Acts 2, 1 and 2, and onward, many scriptures for it. And you receive this prayer language, other tongues. As you do that, it helps minister to you and helps build you up and strengthen you and all of that, that joy begins to bubble up from within as well. Amen? Amen. And then I guess I have one more I forgot about. Hang on to an attitude of faith. Hang on to an attitude of faith. Because faith and joy go together. Faith and joy go together. What's faith? Faith is trust. If we were going to put it down to a real simple definition, faith is trusting in God. Faith is believing his word over your circumstances. And so notice these scriptures. It says in Romans 15, 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So in believing, there's all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad for the power of the Holy Spirit today? And then Philippians 1:25, it says, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. And joy of faith, joy and faith in God. As we trust in him, as we place our trust, our faith, our confidence in him, we can experience joy no matter what's happening around us. Can you say amen one more time? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your joy. Would you stand with me for a moment here? Let's just praise him a little bit. Let's just stir up that joy of the Lord that's in us just a little bit here today. And I encourage you to take this and exercise this. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And so as we praise him and worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt that name above every other name. We rejoice in you today. We thank you for all your goodness and mercy toward us. If you believe this, say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I stir up joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and it dwells on the inside of me. I've got the Holy Spirit. He's made me new. He's given me love. He's given me joy. He's given me peace. He's given me long-suffering. He's given me all these attributes. They're on the inside. So I stir them up in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now just give him thanks. Will you just glorify him? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just remain in an attitude of reverence toward God. just every head bowed and eyes closed, just in an attitude of prayer right now. We never want to end a service without this opportunity. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that if I were to breathe my last breath that I'd be in the presence of God. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I've been forgiven of my sin. The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. How can you know it? How can you be certain that you have eternal life? Because it's not based on your works. It's not based on you earning it. Virtually every other religion has this idea that you have to work to receive some sort of heaven. But biblical Christianity says, no, Jesus did the work on the cross in bearing your sin, dying in your stead, and raising again from the dead so that you place your faith in Him. The Scripture says in Ephesians 2 that we're saved by faith in His grace and that not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, lest anyone should boast. You can't do it yourself. You've got to put your life in His hands and receive Him as your Lord and Savior today. Everyone has sinned. You've sinned and I've sinned. I'm guilty, you're guilty. Because of that guilt, we deserve punishment and judgment. But Jesus took it for us so that if we receive what He did, we are forgiven of our sin. And so, lest there even be one here today and you've never received Jesus and received, therefore, forgiveness of your sin and been made new through Christ, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to make you come up here. But if you lift your hand so I can see it, and more importantly, God can see it, saying, Jesus, I need You to be my Lord today. I need that forgiveness. I'm not sure if I were to die, I would be in heaven today. Anybody at all? Lest there be even one here today. Anybody at all? Maybe you're backslid. Maybe you've been away from God. Maybe at one time you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, but you've been what they call backslidden and away from God. I see one hand. And you know you need to get right with God. Anybody at all, if that's you, just lift your hand up and say, that's your way of saying, God, I know I've been wrong, and I want to get in right fellowship with You again. Anybody at all? All right, let's pray this prayer. Everybody, let's pray it together. God in heaven, I thank You that Jesus, who was born in a manger, died on a cross in my stead as my substitute. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ to take my judgment, to take my punishment. And so today, I turn from sin and I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I believe with all my heart that He not only died, but He rose again, conquered over death, and He's alive. So Jesus, come into my life today. I declare You as my Lord, and I believe by faith that I'm forgiven of my sin, and with Your help, from this day forward, I will live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Him thanks, shall we? Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you'd like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.